happy to have in this studio Rainey Howe. She is the executive director of the Poly Class Foundation. Welcome back, Rainey.
Good morning. Thank you.
I know, as well as it just being January 31st, it is also the last day of Human Trafficking Awareness Month.
That's right.
But it doesn't mean that anything ends today, does it?
No, it doesn't. Maybe a little less of a push, from everybody who works in that field, because we're all busy basically trying to stop the trafficking of humans. In the case of the Poly Class Foundation, we focus on minors who are being trafficked.
Yeah. And when Rainey and I were talking off the air, it was just Monday morning. All of us are, at least outside of your specific arena, stupefied to hear the story about the mother and son who were arrested in Santa Rosa, and they are accused of human trafficking, running a prostitution ring. We don't know how many minors that may have involved, but we're still, so many of us, still shocked by the idea of something like that happening someplace like this.
Yeah, most people think that human trafficking is something that happens to either immigrants or people that are not citizens of the United States. And unfortunately, that's just not true. It happens to kids who are in their bedrooms and making friends online that they don't really know. They're being groomed by adult predators and talked into sneaking out at night, or maybe even just getting in a cab after school and going to some destination. They have no idea who it is that they're really going to meet.
So, would you say that that is the number one way to lure kids into trafficking?
Yes, online? Because they will spend, predators will spend months or even up to a year getting so close to that child. They usually target kids that are vulnerable, that are coming from, a challenging household.
And they're looking often for willing love. to talk about that stuff. Yeah.
They'll tell them everything. So, everything from I hate my mom to
nobody understands me.
Right. But that predator will make that child feel like he is going to save their life. And I have to be careful with the he, because now they're sending out females, too, that will lure young people online. Yeah, exactly. So, or a female that might just meet somebody who clearly has low self-esteem in a coffee shop or a McDonald's and come over and talk to them and say, oh, you're so pretty, I think I have a modeling job for
right,
you.
Right.
So most of it does happen online, but it does happen face-to-face too.
And you say that one of the main weapons in this fight against human trafficking at this stage of the game is education. Obviously, it must be education about what your kids are doing online, and what else?
Absolutely. So the education that we provide goes directly to the students. So we'll go to classrooms or assemblies of grades 6 through 9 and really talk about the behavior. We use our real life cases to demonstrate how this happens. Of course, we don't use victims' names.
Right.
But we begin to talk to students about the behavior that they are exhibiting every day. And as our presenters, we have post-certified presenters, as well as Cindy Rudometkin, who's been in the field with the foundation for 20 years. They know what they're talking about. The kids take them very seriously. And you can just see their faces blanch as we start to talk about
the
what they're actually doing.
Yeah.
You can see the little wheels start to spin.
Fear.
In
I would
their
think
head.
It would be absolute
yeah,
fear.
Absolutely. And we cover everything from, when you are asked by one of your peers to send an inappropriate picture and you have no control
over
what
happens.
Yeah, what's
with the photos thing? See, I don't get this. And maybe it's because I didn't grow up with a cell phone in my pocket all the time and a camera on it and all that sort of thing. But it seems like by now, any kid under the age of 18, and many over the age, frankly, ought to know not to send those kind of photos right. to anyone, that they are there forever for all to see.
Yeah, emphasis on ought to know.
Ought to
but
know.
But when we bring up that subject, then you can really see some of the kids start to panic because, you know, maybe they have a boyfriend that really said, oh, I really want you to send this to me and yeah. I promise I won't show it to any of my friends. Yeah. Well, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that online behavior when they don't know who they're talking to, they think they're talking to some, you know, boy their own age,
yeah.
but then they don't know it's the 52-year-old creepy guy.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know, he's saying, well, I have these pictures of you, and if you don't do that again, I'm going to put it everywhere. And the term for that is sextortion.
Sextortion.
So there's a lot for our kids to learn.
Yeah.
And we truly believe at the foundation that is the key to turning the tide here, is helping these students to understand what the dangers are out there. It's not just fun and games.
That's almost always the case with anything, isn't it? If it can get, you know, the kids at, you know, an early stage to understand right. the danger of X, Y, Z.
And understand that we're talking about victims from Sonoma County. We're not talking about somebody yeah. from India or New York.
Right.
We're talking about what has occurred right here.
Now, is this, when did the tide change, Rainey? Because, of course, when the Polyclass Foundation was created, it was created because of Polyclass, who was kidnapped from her home in Petaluma and eventually killed by Richard Allen Davis. When did the tide change from, you know, abduction, kidnapping, whether it was off the street or from your home, to the kinds of crimes that we're talking about now, trafficking?
At
the internet stage, is that when it changed?
I don't think it changed immediately. I mean, the internet was kind of coming out in 1993
right,
of 94.
Right.
During Polly's abduction, but the uses of the internet is a double-edged sword because, of course, we use it to try to research what happened to children before they went missing.
Yeah.
If it's possible to see what their social media activity was and things like that. I believe that our first case was identified back in 2002 of a minor who had been trafficked. And over time, our case managers have become better and better at really trying to identify, look for those indicators
yeah.
of what led up to that child being missing. And the parallel that I always draw between Polly's case and the work that we do today is, you know, what was so outrageous was that Richard Allen Davis came into Polly's room and
yes.
took her.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is kids are in their bedrooms, they're online,
and
strangers are coming into their bedrooms
and taking them.
So yeah. I think parents need to be a little less oblivious to what their kids are doing. I know my children are grown. I always try to walk that line between giving them some freedom and you know, respecting their privacy, but not to the point where that's going to put them in danger.
Are parents getting better about this in terms of being vigilant about what their kids are doing online or on their phones?
I think that parents of very young children mm-hmm. are pretty vigilant, but as kids get older and then they're using social media that the parents don't even understand, I think there's just that kind of letting go where parents feel like, oh, I don't even know how to do Snapchat. So,
right.
You know, they don't understand
yeah.
it. And so it's harder for them to really
keep track.
But we all believe in vigilance as far as that goes. It, you know, it's our responsibility.
Oh, you got to be a mama bear.
Exactly.
I mean, you really, it sounds like
we're
you
not
really
our kids'
have to do.
Friends.
That's
they
right.
only have one, you know, one or two parents
yes.
in their life.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That yeah. makes perfect sense.
So we're doing a lot to educate. We go into schools and then we've been doing some community forums as well and encourage everybody to keep their ears open for them because we'll usually announce them on KSRO. If there's any teachers out there, sixth to ninth graders that would like us to come to their class, give us a holler.
Yeah, that's a great piece of information to have, too.
We will show up and
yeah.
really, really get into the minds of those kids.
That ought to be an automatic. That ought to be a part of the curriculum.
Well, California is making a push to include it in the curriculum, human trafficking, but they didn't provide a funding stream for it. So for a while, I think that communities are going to have to rely on agencies like the Polyclass Foundation to do that work.
Right.
And we're here and we're doing it. And we've been funded by Children's Speedway Charities, the Rip City Riders. We're going to be their beneficiary this year.
That's
and
great.
Just got a grant from the Purdue Foundation. And that's how we can go out there and do this. And vehicle donations. If you get a car you don't need, give us a call because that's how we do what we do.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And the best way to contact the Polyclass Foundation is?
707-769-1334 or go to polyclass.org.
Polyclass.org. And for those of you who haven't been around long enough, that's class, K-L-A-A-S.
You got it.
Yeah, Polyclass.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Rainey, thanks for being here.
Oh, thank you, Pat.
And keep up the good work.
We will.
And
thanks.
Let us know what you need, okay?
Okay, we'll see you again.
All right, very good. That is Rainey Howe, the Executive Director of the Polyclass Foundation. Important stuff to remember for our kids and for our parents, too.